couple of things about the gospel reading before he read it that we ought to know. And John's gospel is unique, and he's the only one who has Jesus doing these I am sayings. I am the bread of life that we're into, you know, for a long time. But also I'm the light of the world, the vine and the branch, that kind of stuff. And we ought to remember, when Jesus says these things, what are the people hearing? These are people who have been to the synagogue, you know, their whole life. So when Jesus says, I am, what are they hearing? That has deep connections to remember Moses in the burning bush when God calls him to lead the people out of Egypt. And Moses, you know, says, hey, I'm not equipped for that job. And then he said, so who's calling me? I mean, who's this one behind the burning bush? And Yahweh says, I am who I am. And that's kind of the definition of Yahweh, God, as the font of life. Paul Tillich, a grand old theologian, used to call God the ground of being. And that's also part of this saying, I am. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life. All the people, no wonder there were some gasps. And then, remember, in Mark, the people said the same kind of thing. What? He says, I am the bread of life, or the manna from heaven, this new bread, even, you know, more beneficial and life-giving than the original manna. No wonder there were some gasps, and some of the people would again say, isn't he from Nazareth? You know, don't we know his folks? You know, this is disturbing to some of those old Jews. Please stand for the reading. Jesus said to the crowd, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? And Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
God's beloved people. Last month, when Mary and I were driving back from Minnesota, we decided to stop for a picnic lunch someplace on the way. Mostly because that's what we used to do in the old days. So we finally did that when we hit Idaho, and we tried to find the same sourdough hard rolls and smoky cheddar, which in those old days was our bread for the journey, especially when Jen was little and needed some space to run around. That also became, it was our food for the journey on most of our canoe trips back in Minnesota. In our early years of going to Tanzania, we always took a tin of Cougar Gold. I mean, we just thought we needed some sure thing of food for the journey. Our readings today invite us to recall and remember foods for the journeys of our lives. You know, some years ago now, a few years ago, when Corelli and Stoyl and I did the pilgrimage across northern Spain, the Camino, the best food for that journey, when we could find it, was a baguette with prosciutto and cheese. You know, half of it went for breakfast and the other half for lunch. Good food for the pilgrimage. Good nourishment for the journey. In today's Old Testament reading, the prophet Elijah finds himself on a journey of his own, an arduous journey filled with peril and terror. We find him in the wilderness at the end of his strength, literally asking God to kill him so we won't have to face the hardships of one more day. The backdrop, as I mentioned, of this is Elijah's dramatic and violent defeat of Baal's prophets in the chapter before this of 1 Kings. In a mountaintop scene, you know, worthy of Cecil B. DeMille's blockbuster action kind of movie, Elijah calls down fire from heaven, decimating his opponents and proving to everyone that there is only one God, and that God is Yahweh. But when all that showdown is over, Elijah is not elated. He is scared, frightened, depressed, and even suicidal. Queen Jezebel, incensed by Elijah's success, issues him a death warrant. And so Elijah flees for his life. After many hours of running, he finally collapses under a broom tree in the wilderness, prays he won't wake up in the morning, and falls asleep in deep exhaustion. What follows, our reading for today, is one of the more gentle and tender scenes in the whole Old Testament, I think. Elijah awakens to the touch of an angel who says to him, "Get up and eat." When Elijah looks around, he sees that the angel has prepared a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water for him to eat and drink. Elijah, still sleepy and despondent, nibbles a little bit, sips a little of the water, and dozes off again. The angel rouses him again, this time with these words, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be just too much for you." At her second invitation, Elijah obeys in earnest, and his strength is renewed. The reading goes on to note that the prophet perseveres in his journey after he eats the angel's cake. In fact, he's able to endure for 40 days and 40 nights on the nourishment of that one simple meal. Bread for the journey. The angel feeds Elijah journeying bread bread for the road, bread for hope, bread for the long haul. I think you just gotta love this story. You gotta love it. That the angel prepares Elijah's meal there right in front of him as Elijah snores away, only waking the prophet when breakfast is ready. And that the cake is warm and fragrant from the hot stones. And I love it that it's cake. More importantly, I love that the angel is persistent in her efforts to pull Elijah out of his depression. She wakes him up twice and prods him until he eats the whole meal. And that she touches him, communicating this gentleness and empathy with her hands. And I really like and appreciate that the angel never minimizes or dismisses the difficulty of Elijah's journey. Elijah's journey was a tough one. She never says, "Get over it, Elijah. It's not that bad." Or, "You've survived the worst of it, you know. It's all downhill from here." Or, "Once you've eat what I've prepared for you, things will be smooth and easy. You'll be blessed and prosperous. Skinny, rich, and happy. You'll never experience fear or sadness again." Never says that kind of thing. What she says is, "Your journey is a hard one. It's hard. You won't ever make it on your own. But listen, you don't have to. Here's cake. Here's sustenance. Here is bread for your journey. Get up and eat. Eat it because life is sometimes hard. Eat it because there will be dangers along the way, and you will need to stay alert. Eat it so you will be strong enough to face the perils ahead. You can't sidestep the journey. This is your journey, Elijah. It belongs to you. But you can choose how you make it. Famished or fed. Strengthened or weak. Accompanied or alone. Which do you choose?" In today's gospel, Jesus compares himself to manna, another old, ancient, and powerful bread for the journey. Manna sustains the Israelites in their long wilderness journey, just as the angel's cake sustains Elijah in his. And just so, Jesus desires to sustain us in ours, to be our bread for the journey, for every road trip, every perilous ride, every long haul, every rocky path. He desires to be our comfort, our joy, our nourishment, our delight, our substance, and our strength. Not in some magical cure-all way, but in ways that meet us in our real lives, in our real challenges, in our real fears and hopes. Because Jesus knows better than anyone that the journey is sometimes hard. He knows that it can be too much for us to handle on our own. He knows that we need bread that sustains. His bread, his very self, given for you and for all people, for the life of the world. And so he says, I am the bread of life, and get up and eat of my grace and peace and all that good stuff. Amen.